All right, we're back now with Senator Runstedt, who's taking more questions from our panel. Let's go back to Zachary, please.
All right, so Senator, you and a number of other Republican legislators have been very critical of DHHS Director Elizabeth Hertel for not having more or any examples of mistakes that she thinks the department has made during the coronavirus. So let's turn that toward you. What mistakes has the legislature made on COVID-19?
I would say that early budget items that we had vetoed, we should have been more vigorous in opposing. I think the main thing that I really think that the legislature has been deficient on is earlier on putting in some of these caveats in the budget saying that we need to have some more input. I was just reading this morning that the governor of New York is likely going to be stripped of his emergency powers by the Democrat state legislature because they feel that having one person making all these decisions is not a good policy. And they found that out. It's been a disastrous policy in New York. And I think it's been a real issue here in the state of Michigan, where we have one individual making all these decisions that oftentimes, as I just outlined, don't make any sense. And the legislature did not push back hardly at all, and then very little until recently. So I would say those were mistakes that we made.
Dave?
Yeah, thank you. The legislature passed a bill this week, House Bill 4049, that takes away some of the powers from the state health department to cancel games and to ban in-person class. But it also says that local health officials can't declare an emergency unless very specific criterion on COVID are met, be it case rate or positivity rate, test ratio. It also says that local officials can't look at infections in congregate care settings, which could be jails, prisons, nursing homes, or potentially dorms, when they're trying to decide whether or not to cancel a game. So if I'm reading the bill correctly, it means that if every student at Michigan State University gets COVID who's living in a dorm, Ingham County can't cancel a Michigan State University basketball game. Why do you think that was a good bill to pass? And what sort of experts weighed in on setting the case rates and test positivity rates that were in that bill?
Well, that budget bills are very, very vast, as you know, and I would have to, before I give a answer that could be inaccurate, I'd have to go back and study that provision. I'm sure there's a reason that that Jim Stamas and the budget team put that language in there. I don't happen to have that in front of me right now.
And that's a bill that's tied to $870 million in education funding. So if the governor vetoes that bill, that's $870 million less in funding for schools. And I think you and everybody else wants every school to go back in person and have the ability to do that as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, the legislature is going to be involved in the decisions of how we're going to spend this money. And we're going to put some strings on this budget process. Like I said, in the past, we just gushed everything out, left it up to the governor, and there has got to be some strings attached to this process.
Ms. Clark.
Sure. So speaking of sort of negotiating and taking power and kind of running with it, the governor has said that basically the Republican legislature, both chambers, have come up with this budget bill without negotiation with her office. Are Republicans basically doing the same thing with this budget that you've shown frustration earlier on with the governor and some of these orders?
The legislature has always been open to discussion with the administration. For months and months and months, we were not even allowed to talk to the department heads. Department heads were told not to discuss things with the appropriation committee. So we have been stonewalled every step of the way in talking with the majority leader, with talking with the approach chair. They said we are more than willing to sit down and talk to the governor at any time about any of these provisions, but it has not been a good working relationship. The governor has felt that She has been giving all these vast powers, and she doesn't need to deal with the legislature. She's made that clear early on. She feels that the current law now provides her, through her Department of Health and Human Services, to operate unilaterally, independently. She did the same thing when she had her powers until she was ruled against by the Supreme Court. So it's been a one-person show all the way up till now, and we're willing to work with her.
But I'm talking specifically about the budget here, not the provisions. I'm talking about the budget. That what you're saying is you don't, you know, I get that you don't like, you feel like she's been making the decisions, but about the budget specifically, why not negotiate over the Republican budget with her office? Has the relationship just broken down and it's that bad?
Well, what I was referring to was the budget. When we were putting together earlier budgets, the governor told the department heads not to talk to the appropriations committee. This is something that we discussed over and over and over in all of our budget meetings, is that we were not getting any contact from these different department heads via instruction from the governor. So this is not something brand new. This has been ongoing process that we have been battling and battling to try to get information from these departments. So if the governor is saying it's one-sided, it's been something we have been dealing with. And again, I'd be more than happy to talk to the governor or her department heads at any time in terms of putting this budget together.
Senator, what if you go home and people say to you, why did you block all of that money for schools because you want to take away some of the governor's power? Aren't our school kids more important than this intramural fight going on between you folks in Lansing?
You know, I was part of a process where we're an education committee and we were hearing testimony that there's 220,000 kids in Michigan that are virtual only. And we heard testimony of so many children who have mental health issues. They're just exploding, all of these problems. There was a child whose mother was going to come in and testify, and the child committed suicide the day before, who was complaining about his life in terms of this lockdown. So all of these students, 220,000 virtual only, and we want these kids back to school. We want these kids back in some kind of a face-to-face setting. So we're requiring, I believe it's 20 hours of face-to-face instruction. There are schools that will be happily staying at home and not doing in-person instruction, even though we've showed that the science says it's safe to do this. So if we just rely on the governor to make all the decisions for the state, she's demonstrated bad decisions already. There should be a cooperative operation between the administration and the legislature to come to agreement on what's best. But we have been stonewalled all the way down the process, as I have described, through the budget process, all the way through. We were not allowed to talk to department heads. This has been something that has not been a good arrangement. I'm hoping going forward that we can be participating as partners to make sure we come up with the best solutions.
So basically, you think you can justify to people home for holding up school dollars because you want to fight with the governor over her powers? You think that can be justified?
No, I think she should sign the bill and we should get the money out there. What we've asked for makes sense. Having these
But you set her up, Senator, you set her up. If she doesn't like this, she has a right to veto it, and therefore you and your proposals stood in the way of money going to the schools, fair statement or not.
I would say if she thinks that she wants this money to go to schools, as we all do, that this proposal that we have asked for makes sense. We're part of the process. This isn't a dictatorial arrangement. There's a division of powers set up by our Constitution for reason. And she needs to cooperate with the legislature in terms of putting a budget together. It's not one-sided. It's not she gets to do whatever she wants to do because she wants to do it. It is something that has to be a cooperative approach. That's the way the Constitution has been set up.
All right, Zach, we'll do question and go ahead.
Okay. So, Senator, not in the entire pandemic has the legislature sent a single bill to the governor's desk to do any of the kinds of protections whether that would be something like a mask mandate, some type of structure regulating when things can be open or not as the legislature sees fit. I mean, you've been saying again and again, we've been stonewalled, we've been blocked, we've been sidelined, but hasn't the legislature simply walked away from it, from the idea of passing any policy on COVID? The only thing I can think of was the nursing home bill that the governor and the legislature agreed to in the fall, everything and the reopening of the schools. But in terms of regulations of what people can and can't do during COVID, the legislature seems to be taking a laissez-faire approach, which is no regulations, nothing. The government should stay out of it.
I just outlined how we are saying that in order to get this money, we want back to face-to-face. That is the legislature telling the governor that we want you to start making some changes on this unilateral, makes no sense policy. The science says that it's safe for these kids to go back to school. 220,000 kids languishing on virtual only, which we heard testimony how disastrous this is. This is us saying this enough is enough. Get these kids back to school. With the nursing homes, yeah, we tried to change the policy, this disastrous policy, and she vetoed it. And there was other things, I just don't have them at my fingertips, that we tried to do. I would say we should have done more to curtail her dictatorial powers early on, but that was something that I absolutely felt we should have done earlier, but we're trying to make up for it and get involved now.
All right, Senator, we'll put a top on this.
Tim, can I ask just one more question?
Go ahead.
Quick? It sounds like on Monday, Governor Whitmer is going to join some lawmakers in calling for LGBT rights to be part of the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Bill. This is something that has, you know, been on top of mind in Lansing for years and years and years. Is that something that you would be willing to join in the state Senate to vote for adding gender identity and sexual orientation into the state civil rights law?
It's obviously an issue that has a balance. You have a balance between the rights of individuals to operate the way they have in terms of their religious beliefs and the rights of individuals to not be discriminated against. I'd have to see what that bill looks like. But obviously, this is something that requires a lot of balance.
Senator, final question. Do you think Mr. Shirky owes the governor an apology for some of his public comments about her, sir?
I agree with Senator Shirky's comment that things he said were inappropriate, and his comments are his own and not mine.
Okay, so you did not agree with the stuff he said about the governor, is that correct?
He himself said that the things he said were inappropriate. I agree with that, and his comments are his own.
All right, Senator, thanks for joining us on the program. Have a good, safe weekend, and we'll see you next week on the Senate floor, okay?
Thank you.
Also, thanks to Dave. Welcome to Off the Record, David. Nice to have you on board, Zachary and Z.
Yay!
You guys have a nice weekend. We'll see you all later, okay?